us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
9-8 Red Sox. One on, two out, bottom 11. Bernardino throws. And a fastball called! Strike three! Ball game over, and the win of the year for the Red Sox. They get out of Philly with the finale, 9-8 the score. A Romy Grand Slam made it a new game, and a Carlos Narvaez extra innings two-run bomb will send the Red Sox home happy.
Jones and Keith live today. Day two, Patriots training camp. It has wrapped up. That was the Red Sox. Wild win last night. Necessary win last night. You heard Will Fleming with the call here on WEEI. Jones and Keefe again live today at Patriots training camp. We are brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bio heat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Here at Gillette, Keefe, not only is it training camp day, it's also Chick-fil-A day.
Yeah, very excited about that.
As it turns out, I have never seen Griffin move the way he just did.
Oh, he just took off.
I'm not sure I've seen a human being.
No, he's quick.
Move the way he just, like, we thought Diggs was moving well.
No.
At camp.
Griff.
The cutting ability and sprint time that I just saw from Griff getting up when he saw you walking back with Chick-fil-A.
He just lost his mind.
Is unparalleled. He goes, it's Chick-fil-A day, and the next he was gone.
Stormed out.
It was, it was a tribute to the human torch.
It's a great problem to have here. They feed you well at Gillette.
Yeah.
So it's funny, though. Lanny and I were talking about this the other day about how, like, all, like, the media people, they have, like, an area to eat, and they do it, like, on game day and stuff, and they usually have good stuff.
Yeah, like, yesterday you had
fish, mac and cheese.
Lanny had, like, a nice thing of steak tips or whatever they were. Yeah.
Like, once or twice during camp, they have Chick-fil-A day, and people are, like, pushing each other out of the way. There's like a long line. People are fighting over them, and you're like, guys,
Lord of the
Flies. Good food all the time.
It's Lord of the Flies on Chick-fil-A day.
It's bizarre. I mean, I get it. I really like their delicious chicken sandwiches, but like everything is good. So I don't know why all of a sudden people are fighting and sprinting because of this. It's like, you know, you can go down the street and just buy it. I like free food as much as the next guy.
It's very reasonably priced. I don't know if there's a lot of them per se. Where how many?
There's enough.
Are there? Yeah, there's enough. Exactly.
I got a couple somewhat close to me, I guess. So
exactly.
It's not too far out of the way. But people act like, but it's like the food tomorrow will be just as good, if not better.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
It was a great observation by Billy. He's just like, guys, there's tremendous food here every single day.
How come nobody's fighting
and
each other?
And yet on Chick-fil-A day, it's like
they've never seen food before.
Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, it's true.
The late great Hulk Hogan.
That's true.
Wrestling over the Chick-fil-A. So it is Chick-fil-A day here on day two.
Yes, it is. Exciting.
Red Sox able to avoid the sweep again last night, Keith. I mean, I guess it's a real low bar. I don't mean to let them off the hook. But as bad as it's been out of the All-Star break, losing a series to the Cubs, losing a series to the Phillies, offense largely invisible, even last night during a win. Rob Refsnyder can't keep track of the outs. He's just hosing throws with three outs to nobody.
Maybe he's getting some work in.
Maybe.
He's like, I got to try this out.
Guys, I know how many outs there are. I'll just keep my arm loose.
I got to uncork one here.
You know, Story ran into an out in extra innings last night that was just brainless. So, like, there's a lot of bad going on with the Red Sox, but it could have been a lot worse. They avoid a sweep against the Cubs with a win that kind of came out of nowhere. They were getting shut down and all of a sudden exploded for six runs late in that game. Two home runs from Abreu, a big shot from Bregman. And then last night, they're doing nothing. They're getting no hit through four innings. And they still didn't get a ton of hits off Lizardo last night, but they got the big one, the grand slam, by Romy Gonzalez. Lizardo was walking the building last night.
Yeah.
They got bailed out by Real Muto, missing a pop-up in foul territory last night. And they got bailed out by Lizardo walking the building. But when the Red Sox do that to other teams, we call them idiots, and we say they don't know how to play. And when another team does it, I'm not going to say anything different. So the Red Sox take advantage of that last night. Narvaez gets the big home run in extra innings.
Also threw another guy out. So like Narvaez had a nice bounce back.
By a mile in extras. He threw out whoever was trying to swipe second to end the 10th inning. You're right. So a bounce back performance from him after two crappy days. I mean, it's not great with the Red Sox. I don't mean to make it sound great, but it'd be a lot worse if they didn't have these two come from behind out of nowhere victories against the Cubs and Phillies.
No, when you lose the first two and then you're losing like midway through game three, it almost feels like you got swept, and then they have these comeback wins. But obviously the comeback win against the Cubs didn't change anything. It wasn't like, oh, there you go, now they get the momentum going, right? That's sort of what they were asking Cora about last night, like how big the win was last night. It's like, yeah, it's good, like you didn't get swept, but it obviously didn't lead into anything as you lost your next two games to Philly, really just got destroyed in the middle game. I mean, that was just like non-competitive. They had the one home run, but then like four hits total. They struck out a million times. That was bad. And then the way this game got started, you're like, oh my God. Like, this is over. They're going to be 1-5 coming out of the break.
I was worried, legitimately worried they were going to get no hit last night.
They were getting no hit.
No joke. I'm like, it'd be perfect. Devers had two home runs. We haven't talked about this today.
Yeah.
We talked about one of the home runs in real time yesterday. Devers played first 2 days ago. He hits the two bombs yesterday. I'm like, it'd be a perfect day for the Red Sox to get no hit. Devers finally wakes up.
I know.
Finally. I mean, he's done nothing in San Francisco. They've been terrible.
Right.
He finally wakes up. He hits two bombs, and then you get no hit. That would just be perfect symmetry. I'm like, that's going to happen.
It would have.
And not only did that not happen, they came from behind. They won the game. And they, you feel a lot different about it.
The first few innings of the game, how you're thinking. You're like, all right, not only does this look like an inevitable loss, but Lucas Giolito, who was lights out prior to the break, now turning back into a pumpkin. He gives up four home runs.
Yeah, I hope they've learned from that. How many did he give up in the last start? It was at least two.
No, one, I think.
Oh, was it?
He's given up 9 runs total in the last 2 games. I think it was only one homer in the Cubs game, but either way, he's now given up a pile. Four yesterday. And you're like, oh my God, so they're going to lose this. They get him out of the game. And they come storming back. But then it wasn't just like they came back and capped it off. Like, you had a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Your most reliable guy, Aroldis Chapman, comes in early. Alex Cora is aggressive, puts him in the seventh inning. And then he gets the tough lefties out, serves up a home run. So it's, what, his second blown save of the year. And now it's tied. And you're like, great, here we go. If this thing goes to extra innings, or it's going to go to extra innings, then what chance do they have? They lose every extra inning game on the road. But they find a way to scratch and claw and get the win. So it's a massive win. You combine that with what else is going on in the American League. Despite this really, really slow start to the second half, they're still tied for the second wild card. They're still a playoff team. And the trade deadline is 1 week from today. There's no game today for the Sox. There's also no game next Thursday. So they got a big series coming up with the Dodgers, which, once again, I feel like we're saying you got to win this series. You got to take 2 out of 3.
But you said this earlier, this one does feel more winnable based on the pitching matchups than that one.
It does. You're not facing a Wheeler or even any of the guys from the Cubs.
The best pitcher you're facing, Kershaw, who's been good, but he's not vintage Kershaw. You have Crochet going that game.
Exactly. So Bayo tomorrow.
They feel winnable.
Yeah, exactly. So this could be good. Also, there was some talk that Mookie Betts might not play tomorrow.
Yep. Good. Good news. It sounds minor for him. He's got some minor personal thing going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's been horrible this year, so maybe that's not good news.
Is he bad?
He's hitting like 239 with a couple home runs. My. He's not been good.
For Nick to chime in so quick, his defensive metrics must be bad.
Yeah, it was just bad. Nick was
shortstop. Nick was like real ready to go with that.
Let's see. Mookie Betts this season, 238, 679 OPS, has 11 dinks and 6 steals.
Oof.
What happened to this guy? All right, down year for Betts.
Yeah, down year for Betts.
Down year for Betts.
Okay, but
first
still,
time he wasn't an all-star in like years.
I'd still consider it a win to not have him come back to Fenway Park and smack a bunch of home runs off you right in front of your fan base. But that's me, personally. Anyway, I'm with you. They should win the series. Let's stick with Chapman for a moment. Sam Kennedy said something that caught your ear today.
Yes.
On the Front Office Report, Greg Hill Show, every Thursday at 9 a.m. You can mark that down here on WEEI. You can listen on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Use the rewind feature. Go back and listen to Sam this morning. He was asked about the Red Sox and their biggest needs at the deadline, and here's how he answered.
You can never have enough pitching. I mean, I've just been in this for so long. Usually the team with the most lockdown bullpen, team with a great rotation, are teams that are built to go deep in the postseason. That said, I can tell you there's a lot of outbound phone calls being made down the hall in baseball operations, looking at ways to upgrade our defense at certain positions, catcher, first base, right-handed, left-handed. I mean, we're looking, trying to uncover all opportunities to improve this team. That said, when you've got 20, 21 teams at this point trying to do the same, it's challenging. So my guess is it'll come right down to the end as it usually does.
Okay, so the end of that answer I hate. It's going to come down to the end. There's 20 or 21 teams, which implies there's a lot of teams involved. Prices are high, the same sort of stuff we heard yesterday from Jeff Passan. I don't like that, but that's not what jumped out to you.
No, first of all, he asked what's the biggest need, and he eventually named like 10 things. But the first thing he said after pitching, the most specific thing, bullpen. Teams with really good bullpens usually win in the end. So I just... wondered, all right, he never, obviously these guys don't want to give you too much. They don't want to tell you everything that they're talking about in-house, but they, you know, they answer some of the questions. And this one, I wonder, have he and Breslow been talking about it, and Breslow's sort of pointing out that, like, here are the list of guys we're going after, here are the guys we're calling after, and, like, here's maybe the ones we're close on, and it's a lot of relievers. Is he hearing a lot of relievers? And then sort of hyping up the fact that lockdown bullpen, shutdown bullpen, this is what wins, and you're at least not going to be shopping in, like, the deep, deep end of the pool. Like, you don't need to go get Emmanuel Class A because you have Chapman.
Right.
Like, you have Whitlock.
Right.
But you better not be getting, like, Sims and Garcia from a year ago and thinking that that's going to be what makes it a lockdown bullpen. Starting pitching is more important for this team.
Agreed.
Than reliever. And so is bat. He gets into catcher, first base, righty, lefty, all this other stuff.
So,
but they need another bat.
He framed it as defense, but I think he meant defensive alignment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, the first bat he mentions is catcher.
So I'm like, if you get a backup, and first of all, Narvaez maybe eventually cools off, but if you're just looking at catchers right now and the ones that are going to be available, Narvaez had a weird weekend or a weird stretch of games, but he did just hit a home run. He did just throw a guy out. He's been pretty good, really good defensively this year. He's hit better than expected. Connor Wong's been atrocious, but he also plays once a week. So if at the deadline next week they add a guy that can pitch the seventh inning and a backup catcher,
sucks.
That's not a good return. No, that's, like, not a good day.
Those are needs. Like, they're needs, but they're not your biggest needs.
No, I'll take them, like, on the pile.
I'll take a bullpen arm. I'll take another catcher. Get Connor Wong out of here and hedge against Narvaez dropping off. And by the way, I don't really care that Carlos Narvaez leads the bigs in catcher's interference. That was a huge one in a big spot the other night in extra innings. You know, less so on the Bryce Harper play yesterday, or 2 days ago, rather. But, like, they were losing that game in extras either way. There's more net positive with the pitch framing. There's more net positive with him maybe being a half inch closer, throwing runners out. Like, I don't care about any of that. Those are needs. They're not your biggest needs. But I will say, just thinking about the way they've had to use the bullpen recently. Chapman, they asked him to get four outs last night. I was surprised he stayed in beyond the lefties. He got the last out of the seventh, Schwarber. He got the first out of the eighth, Harper. I wasn't even positive he was going to come back out for Harper.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
They left him in against the righties. It came back to bite him. I think they want to keep Chapman to one clean inning. I don't think they want him coming up and then sitting down and coming back out. I don't think they want him for more than three outs. They don't want Whitlock for more than an inning, which I think is the right decision.
Yeah,
Whitlock,
that changed.
When they asked him to go multiple innings earlier this year, he was atrocious.
Yeah.
He's been good because they're getting one inning out of him. So how many arms do you trust in that bullpen, Keith? Is it Chapman and Whitlock right
My
now?
My guy Hicks bounced back yesterday.
My guy Alcala in extras kind of sort of held on, not really.
So Hicks and Alcara, I don't think you can.
Weissert, Bernardino.
Bernardino's been a little bit better,
Wilson,
I guess.
Wilson. Like, I don't know. I don't feel great about any of those other guys, would be my point. Wilson, I think, has been fine.
I was going to say, Wilson.
He actually threw you two great innings last night.
Wilson's not bad.
But if you can't use Chapman for more than three outs and you can't use Whitlock for more than three outs, you do need a bullpen arm.
But that's also, rather than getting, like, a scrubby bullpen arm that's available, get a starter and put Fitz into the pen.
Yep.
And be like, hey, we only need two innings from you.
Yeah, so again, I don't – bullpen arm is not number one for me. Neither is catcher, Sam.
Oh.
But a starter and a big bat, if you want to supplement that with those other things, then I'm fine with it. But if those are your big takeaways of the deadline, not enough. Sam Kennedy also responded to reports by Jeff Passan and Alex Speer that the Red Sox are kind of balking at the high asking price out there at the deadline. Here's how Kennedy answered that question from Curtis.
Yeah, we're looking to improve, Chris, and you know, Passan and Alex and all these guys talk to lots of different people. I'm not sure where those reports specifically come from, because I can tell you there's been a, going all the way back to December, January, February, there's been an urgency around this organization to be as competitive as possible in 2025, and really excited about the group that we have. So there's a lot of activity in terms of preparing the fan base for what may happen. It would be foolish to try and predict here, because when you get into the trade deadline, emotions run high across all of baseball, and players who may not be available today may be available just 4 or 5 days from now. So not really sure the direction it's going to go. We'll just continue to monitor all opportunities and see what might be available as we get closer to the 31st.
So, again, he kind of gets away from the promises he made early. I'm going to hold him to the first part.
Yeah.
Urgency, And they're going to try to, you know, compete, contend, however he phrased it, in 2025. He said 2025 in there.
Oh, yeah.
Not next year, not setting the team up long term. So they've had urgency since the offseason. They're going to try to go for it in 2025. Good. I'm going to hold them to that part of it. Not, well, I can't make any predictions.
Uh-huh.
We don't know how it's going to play out. No.
It's emotional.
You're making the best team you can in 2025, and you're going to show urgency? I'm holding you to that. And if you don't, I'm going to be pissed at the whole organization, but specifically my guy Breslow.
So speaking of 2025, one name that's been out there, Rob Bradford mentioned it to us, a player that will be a free agent at the end of the year. So there's a true rental. You'd have this guy for a couple of months. San Diego Padres, Dylan Cease. We've mentioned him here and there, like in a group of names. There was that list of pitchers. I think there's 10 deep starting pitchers.
Yep.
His name got brought up. Of course, his name got brought up because how excited the Padres are for Jaron Duran. They love Jaron Duran. But just in a vacuum, forget about what you'd have to give up for a second. Just Dylan Cease, would that be enough for the starting pitching need on this team?
I'd consider that a pretty big swing.
Yeah, it's a lot better than like Charlie Morton.
What we were talking about this last week. Was he top five in the Cy Young last year?
He was fourth. Here's the thing. He's a every other year guy.
Oh, right, right, right.
He's a classic every other year guy. So
he's had Cy Young votes twice in his career, and it was last year and 2 years before that.
Yeah, 2022, he was the runner-up in the Cy Young pitching for the White Sox when he was a teammate of Garrett Crochet. 2023, he had an ERA of 4.5. Then his first year with the Padres, which was last year, he was fourth in the MVP. Oh, I'm sorry, fourth in the Cy Young, 22nd in the MVP.
Yeah.
And this year he has a 4.5 ERA again.
Yeah.
And he is a free agent after this year, okay. So it's not like you even get him for next year.
I would still, like, after Joe Ryan, we all want Joe Ryan.
Yes.
After Joe Ryan, is he, like, Alcantara had a good start yesterday. Edward Cabrera is
back. I think I'd rather have Merrill Kelly.
Even than Cease.
I think that Cease, and because Cease isn't locked up, you could make the case you'd rather have Seth Lugo than Cease. Lugo's having a better year. Another win last night.
Yep, Lugo's not locked up either. But no, as you were saying,
that's my point.
Better. Yeah,
if you had like 3 years of Cease or one of Lugo, I'd take the 3 years of Cease.
So
hopefully
I think
that balances.
I kind of forgot about this name too. Evaldi is back, and he's going to start and make his next start.
I'd rather have him.
So I'd have Evaldi and Ryan higher on the list. Cease might be next on the list for me.
Okay,
now, I don't want to. It depends on if the Padres are.
But I don't want to give up Duran for
correct.
Cease.
If the right exactly if the Padres are horny for Duran,
yeah.
I'm not giving up Duran for a rental pitcher like Cease.
No.
But to answer your
Machado back.
To answer your first question,
yeah.
Like would I consider it a big swing if they got Dylan Cease?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah,
to
yeah.
me that would be a big name. That'd be a big acquisition. That's not Mitch Keller or
no, that's not James Paxton or Charlie Morton.
Right. That's not a scrap heap
I'm
guy.
I'm with you. I would
it's not Joe Ryan, yeah. But it's not a scrap heap guy.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. This also just popped into my head. What if it were because we've played this game a couple of different times. We're like, well, what if you got Joe Ryan plus. What if you got Cease and Suarez? Suarez is available. He's the closer with the Padres. Would you go with Duran for that?
Oh, more likely,
yeah,
yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
I might do that,
needs,
too.
Yeah, two needs for that.
A starter and a lights-out reliever? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
And neither of us want to give up Duran, but that might be closer to it.
Yeah.
We'll get to your feedback coming up. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock each and every day. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. Clip du jour on the way as well. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time for Grab Bag.
Certainly is. Time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, as we are down in Gillette Stadium overlooking the practice field. Day two of Patriots training camp in the books. We'll be back tomorrow, day three. We'll be back next Monday, day four. Actually, no, there's a weekend one I think we're going to miss.
Yeah, we're going to miss day four.
Right, never mind.
We'll be here day five.
Starts to lose steam a little bit, but
pads are supposed to come on Monday is what
so
we're hearing, yeah.
Pads are on, that means we're going to be here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe we'll go full pads.
We should do that.
Did we do the practice or the whole thing.
Hey, Ken, we need full on football get ups.
Yeah,
helmets, shoulder pads, just helmets and shoulder pads.
Helmets, shoulder pads,
yeah.
And I want the Pat Patriot old school helmet.
Oh yeah, yeah, that for sure. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I want. Grab Bag is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. It was funny before the show we got news that Justin Fields was hurt, carted off the field. And you're like, oh boy, Jets are going to be down their quarterback. Turns out not that significant, although a dislocated non-big toe. didn't get into specifics about which Tootsie it was, but it's not the main one.
Which, if you had to guess, which one do you think it was?
Oh, probably that middle one.
Probably roast beef.
Probably, yeah, if I had to guess, it's probably roast
beef. You think roast beef
maybe went down?
I bet so.
I can't imagine that keeps you out too long. What do you even need that
I'm actually looking for the tweet right now. Here you go. Mike Garofolo. Still waiting for more word on Fields. The vibes surrounding the Jets quarterback are that he'll be in line to start week one against the Steelers.
Yeah, okay. So for an hour there, it was
chop it off.
Ronnie Lott would have chewed it off just to get back in the game.
Look, when we first saw the news, I'm like, this guy just blew his Achilles out or something like that. He's done for the year. And he turns out he's probably not going to miss any time in terms of like actual games. No time.
A little piggy.
Yeah.
You got grab bag on Jones and Keefe.
Shohei Ohtani, who is going to be at Fenway Park coming up tomorrow night for the weekend series against the Red Sox. Sadly, he's not going to pitch. He originally was scheduled to pitch on Sunday. He's not going to pitch, but he is going to hit. And, in fact, he has had a home run in five consecutive games for the Dodgers. So Shohei Ohtani is up to 37 home runs this season. Aaron Judge also hit his 37th last night. Those two trail the big dumper Cal Raleigh by two in the current home run leaderboard this season.
Who, Billy, you have Ohtani in the home runs league?
I have Ohtani and Bryce Harper, who's hit a few recently.
I feel like you're gaining on me. I'm still miles behind Terp. Schwarber hits one like every night now.
Yeah.
Cal Raleigh, I was hoping, ruined his swing. Didn't happen at the home run derby. If you asked me yesterday if Ohtani had ever hit a home run in five consecutive games prior to him doing it last night, I would have guessed yes.
Yeah,
I would have said yes. Like, that's ridiculous, five straight games. I would have actually assumed he had already done that in his career.
Do any of those guys hit 60 this year? They're all right around the pace. Raleigh, Judge, Ohtani are all like right around that pace.
Judge has to be the favorite to do it, right? So if I was going to pick any one, I would pick Judge.
All right.
But, yeah, I mean, maybe I'm too dismissive of Ohtani and even the big dumper.
Do you want an update?
Yeah, of course I want an update.
All right, so Terp, 104.
Okay.
Wow, that's a lot of homers.
Jones, 91.
Ugh. I'm falling back. Yeah.
Falling way off.
Myself, 82.
Yeah. Wait, 91? So I'm closer to you than I am to Terp.
Correct.
Oh, boy. That's
and
not
then,
good.
Let's see. So then there's Nick at 79 and Keith at 406.
Man.
46?
How many doubles do I have?
What's the one of How many? I bet not that many.
In the home run pool, how many doubles? Yeah, no, because you're not Alvarez is hurt. The other guys are all slap hitters that I got.
They're Bobby Witt day-to-day.
Yeah.
Then the juniors aren't really doing much for you.
The juniors. The junior brothers. Yeah. Terrible. All
right. Grab bag.
I saw this via The Athletic. They did a Baseball Hall of Fame tiers. It's not exactly tiers. It looks like it's more two columns.
Okay.
But whatever. That's what they called it.
Wait. Columns?
Yes.
Is I don't it know like why. An in and out?
Pretty much.
Aren't tiers more rows than columns?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a mess. I'll be honest. This is a mess. But it's more for the conversation and less for the snappy graphic. They basically are saying of the current players in Major League Baseball, they think there are six. They could retire right now. They're in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
They also think there are six, what they refer to as in the red zone.
Okay.
The football term, Jones. Sure, they've applied it to
that's odd.
Crossing baseball.
Maybe they're on the warning track is what I would say. Yeah.
Good one.
Good
one. Yeah.
See, you should write for The Athletic.
I should.
So anyway, they have six guys.
Write 2,000 words to just sit down and write warning track. But yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So anyway, these six guys, and you know I notoriously am a small hall guy.
You're the smallest, yes.
But six guys that they think are in if they retire today, six guys that they think are right on the precipice.
Get
one of the guys they just played last night, which I think is probably why he's on this list, because Harper just hit 350, right, for career home runs.
Yep. So is he in or is he on the
They have him in the red zone.
Yeah, that's where I would have him.
All right, so in right now, the no debate Hall of Famers, Clayton Kershaw.
Okay.
Justin Verlander.
Yep.
Max Scherzer. He's pretty nasty, I think, if you look at the numbers of all three of those guys. Mike Trout.
Yep.
Freddie Freeman.
Interesting.
And Mookie Betts.
So Judge.
They have Mookie Betts.
But if they retired today, would Judge have enough to get in? I would say no.
Maybe not. He is sort of a burned hot guy at this point.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying if Judge, you know, something horrific happened or his career's over. Jesus.
Well, I'm saying his career is
like,
over.
We already got the three out of the way.
I'm saying if his career.
We got three deaths out of the way. Like, I can hex whoever I want.
I wish that upon anybody.
Okay, something horrific on the baseball field happens.
Aaron Judge, we want you to live.
And his career is over. I wouldn't put Judge in. I wouldn't have Freeman or without looking at any numbers, my reaction is I wouldn't even have Freeman or.
Okay, Betts?
No, Scherzer. I'd have those other guys in.
Yeah, I would have the other guys in. Judge.
Max Scherzer, 3 Cy Youngs, 2 World Series, 8-time All-Star.
Scherzer won 2 World Series?
3 Cy Youngs, dude.
Yeah. Maybe I got to give it to him.
Yeah.
That was quick. Did you see the before you get to the cusp, guys on the cusp?
What are the defensive metrics?
Did you see the umpire who called out Verlander? Verlander was in the dugout barking at the umpire's call, and the umpire said something along the lines of, well, when you can get through 3 innings, you can tell me how to do my job. Something along those lines. It's not an exact quote, but the ump barked right back at him.
Verlander just snapped his streak. He had 16 straight games without a win.
Yeah.
They're like, that's never happened in Giants
history. He snapped a streak on.
Real quick, though, Aaron Judge.
I saw the photos.
I've seen everything. I've seen everything. Aaron Judge is a 7-time All-Star, a 2-time MVP.
Yeah, so he's close, but again, I wouldn't have him in yet.
Okay. All right, here are the guys that are in the red zone, as it were.
Good debate.
Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I would
also
have
a 2-time MVP.
Wouldn't have him in yet.
Nolan Arenado.
Wouldn't have him in yet.
He's nasty.
He is.
Manny Machado.
Nope.
Paul Goldschmidt.
No.
Shohei Ohtani.
No, I mean, again, if you're asking me will he get in, yes, him and Judge, but if their career ended today, I'd be a no on both.
And Jose Altuve, which leads me to say, how is Aaron Judge not even in the red zone thing?
Really?
Oh, I thought you said Judge was in that group. Oh, he's not
Judge
even in that.
No. Wasn't Judge, I thought he said Hopper Judge.
Yeah.
Did I?
No, maybe I misheard you.
Oh, no, I was just saying, so Harper just got to 350 for home runs, and Judge is at 350.
Honestly, both got this is a pretty good small hall barometer if we're being honest with ourselves.
Because, like, you know, fast forward however many years,
stupid
the finalists.
Yeah, stupid graphic aside,
the graphic stinks. They're not even tiers,
but it's solid columns.
But it's a pretty good list.
It's a fun debate.
It is a good little debate.
I'm enjoying myself.
Okay. All right.
What kind of monster are you, grab bag?
Congratulations to Kyle Teal. First career dong for Kyle Teal.
First bop.
First bop for Kyle Teal.
Good for him.
Yeah, not bad.
You regretting that crochet trade?
No.
Yeah, I'd hope they'd learn a lesson from that. I would hope, yeah.
It's over, Anakin. I have the
grab bag.
You underestimate my
grab bag.
Don't try it.
Not to put you on the spot, Terp. I don't even know if you have the ability to do this, but the Packers unveiled some new uniforms here today. They tweeted out a picture, and they said, it's a vibe. And are they really going to wear these?
Yeah.
Is this for real?
Did you ever think that maybe Morton Langston being really, really, really ridiculously good looking?
It's Jones and Keith, Fashion Police.
So this the picture that I see is just the helmet and the jersey, so I actually don't see the pants. Have you seen a version with the pants, or have you just seen the jersey and the helmet?
Let me look it up again. I thought I saw a full body is what I thought I saw.
Right, go on.
But maybe not. No, you're right. No, I saw this one you're looking at, the Schefter one. That's all I saw.
Oh, I see this one here that the Packers themselves tweeted out.
Okay, similar though, yeah.
So anyway, it's the Green Bay Packers. They're going to wear like a navy blue, which is not synonymous with Packers.
No.
Any sense.
But this is like
gold.
This is like the original Packers.
Oh, and then some.
Yeah.
This is a gold number, very generic number, 3 gold stripes on the sleeves. The helmet is meant to look like leather. It looks like
It looks so dumb.
George Clooney, John Krasinski leather
helmet. It looks so stupid.
It's terrible. They can't really wear this.
Isn't Illinois wear these?
They're going to wear it. What are you talking about?
Who wears these?
I think Illinois wears these.
I don't like any of them wearing them. None of them should. These are terrible.
How would you grade it?
Oh.
I'd give them a Super Bowl 1.
2?
Exactly. Okay. They won Super Bowl 1. I'll give it a Super Bowl 1 for that,
They famously won Super Bowl 1.
Yeah.
Rampag!
I don't know if that guy had it. Jeff Teague.
Oh.
My guy Jeff Teague, who does some podcast work.
I knew you were going to have this story.
He claims that LeBron James, your GOAT, Terp's GOAT,
Terps go.
Took steroids.
Shows go.
When he was on the Yep. Yeah. Said he took roids when he was on the Heat.
No.
Yep. He said he had to sit out. He said LeBron James took time off officially as a back injury because the league was doing HGH testing, so he bagged out and didn't play for a little while, then came back, and he came back a lot smaller. This is what he said. This is the quote. Miami Heat Bron. He was on steroids, bro. They started testing for HGH, and he had to sit out. He said his back was hurting, and he sat out 3 weeks. Then he came back skinny.
Allegedly. Now, who's told? Jeff Teague is apparently like a hilarious guy with some of these podcasts.
Yeah, he's really
stories,
funny.
Right?
He's great. He's had some good breakdowns about, like,
I mean, good for him.
Guys playing too hard and him, like, not wanting to guard him. Be like, yeah. Oh, this guy's doing too much. Like, hey, switch with me. He seems hilarious.
Nice.
But I would imagine, I think he already came back out and was like, oh, no, I was just joking. Because I think, like, stuff like this, you can actually get in, like, legit trouble
yeah,
for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he's sort of backed off.
Yeah, he said he was just kidding around. But, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Like, you put it out there.
Any athlete that looks like LeBron would not shock me in the least. Yeah.
That's why I think to say, like, oh, he's on steroids. But to say, like, he was on steroids, and said it was a back injury,
yeah.
missed this amount of games, and then came back is a little bit too much detail.
Yeah, Pablo Torre, what are you up to? Go sniff around on that, would
get
you?
Get in there.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a crap bag anymore.
All right, let's skip ahead, Nick, to the after a Red Sox win. Unfortunately, there hasn't been too many of these after the All-Star break. But following a Sox win, we like to get you our Hogdale call of the game.
2-2 pitch. Swung on. Narvaez gives this one a wide left field. High and deep. It's carrying. It's in the stands. It's a home run. Carlos Narvaez, the captain. He draws a two-run shot. And the Sox, they take the lead again. It's a 9-7 ball game. Let's go.
All right, there you have it. Pretty good.
You think somebody talked to him? He's working pretty clean again these days.
No, I feel like my concern is he's trying to do like an audition.
Demo reel.
Yeah, reel. He's trying to get
go somewhere
else.
Yeah, you want to be in the next Joe Buck.
Stay on Twitch, Hog. Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
I like the,
I'm nervous about it.
I like the authentic.
You think Hog's getting too mainstream?
Unedited Hog. Is Hog getting too mainstream? Is that what it is?
You like an unedited Hog.
I like an unclipped Hog is what I like.
The original natural.
Yeah. Exactly.
Very good.
Any questions?
Yeah.
What was her job?
Grab bag.
What do you mean?
Guys, what'd I say?
Her job is so confusing.
The job isn't important.
Guys, what I say. Hey, do you want your Rafael Devers update?
No.
Well, you're going to get it.
Yeah, and, I actually really don't want this one.
I don't either. Yeah. Maybe we should stop doing this because Devers played first base 2 days ago and they won. Yesterday, he socked two dingers, helped Justin Verlander get his first win in a dog's age. The Giants have won back-to-back games. However, they do still find themselves on the outside of the playoff picture.
Thank you, Keith.
They are a game and a half behind the Padres for the third NL wild card.
Now, for those of you keeping score at home, and I am.
We are, yeah.
The Giants are 13-18 with Rafi Devers out of the playoffs, as you illustrated, Keith. They're averaging less than 4 runs a game.
Yeah.
He is up to .243 with 4 homers and 15 ribeye steaks, 1 game at first base, and he claims he actually all along has wanted to play in the field, Keith. He likes playing in the field better than at DH because he feels a part of the game.
Cool.
Yeah, real cool.
Yeah.
And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris? They call it
grab bag
with cheese.
All right, Jones, who was the best Major League Baseball player yesterday? Was it the Italian breakfast, Vinny Pasquantino?
That's the Pasquatch.
The Pasquatch. Also the Italian breakfast. The guy's the two best nicknames.
I didn't know that was his nickname.
Yeah, he's the Italian breakfast.
The Italian breakfast.
Nice. The Italian breakfast went 3-for-4 with 2 dongs.
That's going to be tough to beat.
4 RBI and 3 runs scored.
Nice.
2 sausage links is what he had.
Great.
Was it Rafael Devers? 3-for-5, 2 home runs, 4 RBI.
Pasquatch for
was
sure.
Was it Kyle Teal? 4-for-5, first career home run, 2 ribbies, 3 runs scored. Was it Nick Lodolo? 9 scoreless.
Ooh, I like that.
8 Ks. Or was it Tyler?
Not even one inning, though, yeah.
Was it Tyler Glasnow and later? 7 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 12 punch-outs.
Ooh, 12 punchies.
12 Ks.
Glasnow and a cold beer after the game.
For Tyler Glasnow and later.
I'm going with the Italian breakfast.
Italian breakfast.
Pasquatch. Yeah. Way better than Devers.
Huge game for the Italian breakfast, who also is called the Italian nightmare, not as good, or the Pasquatch.
Great.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
Dude, the Italian breakfast drove in 97 runs last year.
Sasquatch.
Jeez.
And they have a Sasquatch hiding in the outfield when he's up the bat.
That is true. I love that. They do. The Royals, they stick a little Sasquatch out there.
While he's at bat?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Only while he's at bat?
That's right. He's not like a team mascot. He's like specifically a Pasquatch mascot.
I didn't realize that.
It's incredible. You think we could get him to the Fenway? Maybe he could fight Wally or something?
Good idea.
Yeah. All right, Nick.
Well, random player time. Yep. We have a former Ranger and Ray. He burned real hot, but he did play for 9 years.
What position did he play?
He played third base, two-time All-Star, and did get MVP votes in 2004.
Dean Palmer?
It is not. He played from 2002 to 2010.
Because we've had Dean Palmer before, right?
Ooh.
Or, yeah, Russell Greer before.
Oh, maybe we have. Teammates. Yeah. Famous teammates.
Yep. Who did he play for? What was
Hank
the order?
Hank Blaylock.
Oh, great guy.
He got it!
Nice.
I don't remember Blaylock with the Rays.
He only played 26 games there to end his career.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that throws you off the scent a little bit.
All-Star Game MVP.
Sure was.
Hank Blaylock.
The first time they had the This Time It Counts, I believe, and he won the home field advantage for the American League.
Yes, exactly.
He was really only good for like 3 years.
Yeah, that was it. Short time span there.
I don't remember him at all. Again, it was a cup of coffee with Tampa.
You mean Hammer and Hank Blaylock?
I think we're learning. This is the proper formation for a random ball player. I think is what we're learning.
Yeah.
Really, we should just quiz Keith on random ball players. I think what we're learning here.
You mean Hank Mookie Blaylock?
Original name of Pearl Jam.
That's right.
Yeah.
You do have to love that guy who played for like seven games in his career.
Say it again?
You do have to go to a guy that played like seven games.
I never underestimate the spite in Nick. With defensive metrics and random players in all sports, never underestimate
the spite.
Well,
I could have done it today. Keith did call me out earlier, so
he did.
I was expecting it.
No, you
disagree.
Did. I heard it.
I just I heard referred it. You did. To a Mac and Goo Movie Club tweet into the show that was calling you out. I didn't. I was happy that I got Mike Lieberthal. They were saying Mike Lieberthal is not random enough.
Yeah. He was just amplifying it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just
retweeting.
Aggregating.
A like is all it was.
Well, they're
it
all over Jones take. For never getting the easy ones. So.
Yeah, I know.
Retweets are not endorsements.
Okay, that's the random ball player every day in the grab bag here on Jones and Keefe. We're live. Patriots training camp brought to you by McFarland Energy. We will wrap things up with our clip du jour next.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Back here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, it is time for our clip du jour. Jones, are you ready for that?
Oh, sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
I'm so glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, we, of course, day two, Patriots training camp. We are overlooking the practice fields. We already know I have poor eyesight, but apparently, so does. Maybe it's contagious.
Turns out you have company.
So does Eagle-Eyed Jones.
I think I see Hart and Fitzy down there with Diggs, right?
My eyesight's not great.
Okay, Terps in the blue polo down there with the white hat. That's Hart with his stupid visor, right? And that's Fitzy with Diggs.
If it's somebody with a visor, that's definitely Hart.
I'm pretty sure that's what I'm seeing.
Okay.
I'll get an official tease for you for WEEI.
No,
that was Pop. I thought I saw an 8. That's a 3.
You only saw one half of the number.
Yeah, he did look short. I thought I saw an 8. That's a 3. All right, Pop Douglas, stick around for that.
As bad as my
with
eyesight
Fitzy
is,
and Hart.
I can see Hart's giant head with the visor, though.
So it is. If you see someone with a visor with 2/3 of their head sticking out of it,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's definitely him.
It turns out that was Mike Reese.
That was Mike Reese.
So I don't know how Hart feels about me thinking
he looks a little, he's same
he looks
stature
very
as Mike Reese.
Correct. I'm like, well, it's a visor and a short little bro.
Yeah.
That's got to be Andy Hart. And then Terp's like, no, I just walked out with Hart. That's Reese. I was like, oh, my.
Did Reese do the interview on Moses' shoulder? He's like, let me hold you like this in one shot.
So bad news for Andy Hart. I'm now confusing him with Mike Reese.
That's
down
a tough
there,
go.
Which is just a real tough go. A tough go for all of us.
So basically, Mike Reese interviewing Pop Douglas was what you thought Andy Hart talking
to
Steph Diggs?
No, incorrect. It was Hart and Fitzy with Diggs. Then separately, afterwards,
yeah.
I thought Hart was talking to Morgan Moses. That was Mike Reese.
So we believe Pop Douglas, Terp, thumbs up. They have Pop Douglas on for the afternoon show?
Thumbs up. Okay. Terp was there for
That's
that.
That's confirmed. Yeah. Pop Douglas, you can hear from Pop Douglas. the exclusive with For Sure Pop Douglas.
And if you want a one-on-one with Morgan Moses, you're going to have to go to Mike Reese for that.
Yeah, is check that out have to somewhere do. Else.
But there you go. That is the clip du jour.
Well, that's great.
No crossover today. We're here at Gillette. The guys are back in Brighton. But it's brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You got to try the new burgers at the Nines. They're bigger. They're bolder and they're beefier. Their half-pound 100% American Angus beef is sure to please. Try the new bourbon onion burger and get more ang for your buck. You gotta love the night. Stay tuned. WEEI Afternoons, they come your way a little after 2. We're back tomorrow at 10. We got a Top 5 Friday. We got a Friday 4-pack and the Week in Review live from Patriots Training Camp tomorrow at 10 on WEEI.